Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, and I will be interviewing a great guest for you today, Tommy Baker. Tommy helps dreamers, visionaries, and entrepreneurs bring those dreams to life and create a life they can't wait to wake up for. As an author of Unresolution, The 1% Rule, and Leap of Your Life, Tommy believes living up to our potential is what we're here for. Through his writing, coaching, and podcast, he's helped thousands of people take their next bold step and never look back. He's been featured in Entrepreneur, Influencive, Thought Catalog, and many more. It's my pleasure to welcome Tommy to our show today.
Thank you so much for having me, and excited to be on your platform today.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad to have you. And let's just take a moment, fill in some of your bio. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, but more importantly, about your journey, how you got where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey, I think like many people's journeys, came from a place of discomfort and some pain and some going down a path that deep down I knew wasn't for me. And so specifically what that looked like was being in the financial services industry in Manhattan on Wall Street and just feeling disconnected, big time disconnected from the work and feeling a lot of pressure, competitive pressure to stay in that environment, even though it's not what I wanted. And so through that process of getting radically honest and starting to ask some tough questions and seek the answers to those questions, I started to pivot out of that, ended up launching my own fitness business, built it up to a couple locations and 10 employees, and then pivoted out towards working with gym owners on their mindset and marketing to grow their businesses. And then pivoted once again to do that now full time for all types of entrepreneurs and also a lot of coaches, speakers, podcasters, authors, et cetera, et cetera.
Fantastic. So how has the business today shaped your life? So you're feeling really disconnected and that wasn't the right path for you, but how's that changed today with your new business?
Yeah, you know, to me, I ask a lot of my podcasts, what's your definition of success? And I used to have this whole complicated, I'm an obsessive student about studying growth and success and all that stuff. So I used to have a complicated answer. Now it's to create a life that I'm really excited to wake up for in the morning. Whether that's there's adversity involved in that or not, or all the beautiful parts about it, it doesn't really matter. It's because I get to do it because it's a life of autonomy and independence and purpose and meaning. And so to me, I feel every day, I mean, this is what we're doing right now is what I consider work, but it never feels that way. And that to me is the exciting part. We all have, I believe, a place where we have something that we're skilled at. There's a problem in the marketplace and there's a creative solution that gives us purpose, meaning, fulfillment, and the ability to create financial results. And in that place, we're in a state of thriving.
Very good. You know, I ask people that same question all the time at the beginning of my seminars is what their definition of success is, or do they feel successful, or are they experiencing success? And it's a question that is very difficult for people to answer. I think there's a lot of comparative analysis going on and they're not even sure their own definition of success, much less what they think somebody else's might be. So how do you take in the consideration of goal setting in the measurement of your success?
Absolutely. Well, you know, to me, you know, one of the fun parts about success is to chase something down that you desire, that you want to create, whether that's in your life or in your business. And that's where the goal setting process comes in. And so to me, that's the fun part of saying, hey, this is where I am today. There's a mountaintop over there. I don't know exactly how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to move towards it anyways. And I'm going to do some planning and I'm going to reverse engineer some things, but I'm also going to take courageous steps every single day. And through that, I'm going to create clarity. Through that, I'm going to get some answers. Through that, I'm going to learn more about myself to get there. So I believe deeply in goal setting. I have a whole process that goes from a 3-year to a 1-year vision, and then all the way down to the next 90 days. And all of those dots have to be connected, meaning today's actions on this Tuesday have to be connected to my weekly ones, to my monthly ones, quarterly, and then it has to be connected with my 1 and 3 year vision.
That is great. I teach something very, very similar. So that's why I was interested in in what your feedback is, because that's always my answer. That's kind of like where we head down that path. But I do feel that that is probably one of the things that's holding people back, is just defining for themselves what they feel their picture of success is. Because I just feel like a lot of people are looking at other people that have been super successful, whether that is how big their business is, when they see how much money it's generated, or they're one of the top salespeople at their firms, or the list goes on and on and on. So I just think it's a really important thing for people to define their own measure of success.
It's so true. And you brought a great point that in a digital age, we can look at somebody's version of success and superimpose that into ours, and then find ourselves going down our path that is not for us. And so what you said there to me is one of the most important parts, which I just call self-reflection, and taking some time to just get honest with ourselves, create some space, not be digitally stimulated, but honestly just take some space or go to an environment that does that. For me, it's one of the reasons I moved to Arizona. I love being outside. I love being in nature. When I'm in nature, I get a lot of clarity. And asking that question and let the answers come to you. Yes, you should see if you can force some of them out by doing journaling, or maybe going to seminars or listening to this podcast, stuff like that. But also let the answers come to you. And if you do that and you stay open and curious, the answers are going to come.
Right. Great. Well, tell us a little bit about your business today.
Yeah, my business today is working almost exclusively with entrepreneurs. I break down life into 3 stages. Typically, we can be in a state of survival, which means our backup is up against the wall. We're taking a lot of action because, frankly, we have no choice. That's one stage. The next one is we're in a state of comfort where we've created some results, but we don't have the urgency of survival. But we also don't have anything that's really pulling us forward. And then we have a state of thriving. So in a state of thriving, you're consistently in a state where you're testing yourself, challenging yourself in business, but having a lot of fun along the way. Now, for the people that I work with, the entrepreneurs that I work with, typically they're in that comfortable stage where they've seen some results, but they've kind of lost the spark or the reason why or the compelling horizon in front of them on why they started their vision, their business. And so I help them get back into a place of clarity around that and to get them back into a state of thriving. And the way that I do that is everything from the books that I do, the podcast, to my virtual training groups and also a mastermind group experience.
Great. And so one of the things I keep hearing more and more of lately, and that is, you know, really connecting with a mastermind group that fits your needs. So can you speak to that for just a minute? Because I think that that is, in this day and age, is something that's really easy for people to be a part of. And yet I don't find that that's the right on everybody's target list of things to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am obsessive about putting myself in environments that are, you know, environments are the fastest and easiest way to change behavior. All I mean by that is that we all know if you want to get physically fit and you haven't done it for a decade, you know, doing it on your own in your basement, it's probably not going to happen. But if you sign up for a personal trainer in an environment that is fun and it challenges you, you're much more likely to do it. And it's the same thing with business and any other goals that we're looking to attain. And so for me, when I look for groups, I say, you know what, who is already doing what I want to be doing, but at a bigger level? So who can look back and with hindsight, show me some of the lessons and also see some of the blind spots that I have. One of the hard parts about success and growth is that early on when you're failing a lot or you're not where you want to be in life and business, your blind spots are pretty huge. I mean, anybody can see them. A stranger could see them and they're pretty obvious, but they're not that costly early on. As you grow and expand and you see results, your blind spots become smaller yet harder to see. That's why elite athletes, as they go on, they have more support, not less. So for me, when I look at for in any groups or any coaching or any mastermind, I look for who are the people who are doing what I want to be doing at a higher level, and two, what are their values? And I think the second one, a lot of people look at those who are achieving and they're like, that's my group. It's not for me, because I know a lot of people who achieve who don't do it from a place of deep integrity and values that are important to me. And so I want to surround myself with people like who are achieving the things that I want, but also are the type of people that I want to be surrounded with. And you know, you found the right tribe when, they're not willing to buy your excuses, but they're always the first person there to support you during the challenging moments.
Right. That's good. I think they're really important as well. And I just wanted to hear, I know that's one of the big things that you do in your training is the mastermind. And so I just think it's important that people get a little bit of clarity on how to find one. That seems to be the hardest challenge for people.
Yeah. And there's a lot of noise, but again, you can, once you're clear, like that's the issue that we have, cause I've had this issue too, but once you are clear, once the person is clear on what they want to create and what they want to do, then it becomes a lot easier to see the alignment. But if you're kind of like dabbling in stuff and you don't really know what you mm-hmm. want, then it's really hard to find something because you can't tell if it's a fit.
Right. Let's talk about some of your skill sets that you think have been instrumental in helping moving your business forward.
Absolutely. I'm obsessed with acquiring skill sets. I would say number one, one of the big lessons that I learned when I launched my fitness business, this beautiful, sprawling 5,000 square foot facility, if you build it, they would not come. So I had a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm, but I didn't have the skill of influential marketing, communication, and copywriting. So my first kind of ninja skill set that I got really great at was actually copywriting and writing in general. That was number one. Number two was, you know, direct response marketing, which I know you're great at. And number three was just communication in general, communication for my employees, communication for a prospective client in front of me. And within that, there's so many things. There's empathy, there's holding space, there's, you know, really caring enough about them to offer them something, not just sell them something. So those three skill sets have been instrumental in allowing me to transition smoothly because I've done a few pivots and also grow my business.
Very good. All right. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments that you're quite happy with.
Yeah, I think this last year was a big one for me when I, you know, because I've been a writer for a long time and I had published a couple self-published books. But, you know, when I got a book deal with a major publisher, and just going through that experience to me was something as a writer that was extremely exciting to be able to work with one of the best, you know, houses and really, you know, it was an affirmation that what I was doing was working in a sense, mm-hmm. And then ultimately releasing the book. So that was something that I'm super proud of within the last 12 months.
And that was Leap of Your Life.
You got it.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your book. Like, we have a lot of listeners and I do a book review and I'm always encouraging them to read. I think it's a huge part of our ongoing growth journey. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Absolutely. So The Leap was created because I saw a lot of patterns, a lot of messages from people who told me that they had an inkling or some clarity about something that they wanted to do, whether that was launch a business, leave a career, whatever it was. But nothing was happening. They would get this amazing clarity and then nothing would happen. And so The Leap is a nudge of sorts of, really helping people to stop waiting so much. Cause I think we talk ourselves into waiting for the right time, waiting until the kids grow up, waiting until the economy gets better. I mean, we'll come up with any excuse to wait, waiting until it gets less hot in Arizona. I mean, we will literally come up with any excuse. And to me, I know from personal experience and when working with so many people that when we wait to do something, fear just really consumes us. I work with entrepreneurs who are ready to hire their first big hire on salary and they know they have to do it and they're hesitating about it. And today they have instant clarity. And then 3 months later, they're still talking about doing it. And that could be launching your own business, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, The Leap is all about making the bold move, obviously taking calculated risks. It's not about being irresponsible, but it's about knowing that when you make bold decisions and you move towards them, not only do you see results, but you also feel purpose, meaning, and fulfillment. And at the end of the day, that's what we're here for.
That's great. I'll look forward to reading it.
Awesome.
So tell us about then a challenge or something that's happened in your business and how you worked through that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's actually the same one. So releasing the book means that for me personally, I went all in and I wrote it in about 4.5 months. Okay. And I said no to everything else. So if clients are ready to sign up for masterminds or one-on-one training or, you know, things that represented thousands of dollars and tens of thousands. If you add them all up, I had to say no. So for me as a business owner, this year has also been difficult because going all in on the book, I wanted to do the book, not just how some people do it, but I wanted to go all in and say, you know what? No matter what happens to it, I can look back and saying that I really put an A effort. So my challenge with that has been that I'm now starting over a little bit in terms of getting some of my programs that were there before back on the ground, building my team again. And so it's a little frustrating to look back and say, hey, this is where I was before the book. Cash flow is different now. Programs are different and I'm kind of rebuilding again. But that's to me the way that you have to do some things sometimes. You have seasons of life and business. Sometimes you have to go all in on a project and that means saying no to something else. You can always pick it back up.
That is true. And I think we talk a lot about the seasons of life and there are many yes. different seasons of life, but we rarely talk about seasons of business. So that is a really, really good point because there are times where you do need to give your attention 100% and it's good to have different streams or income streams that kind of generate that are ongoing that's helpful during those times. But nevertheless, it's tough and you're going to have different seasons. And I think when you've been doing a business for many years, you realize it too is going to have its ebb and flow and its ups and downs. And sometimes it's to do with you and where you are in life. And other times it's to do with the economy and what's going on with that or what trends are. And so there's lots of factors that go into that. But remember, if you're always doing things from a place of helping others and continuing with your main vision and where you were, I do believe that just like with all those seasons, this too will pass. So it comes together, but I think people get afraid and they just abandon the whole thing and say they need to do something completely different. I see it all of the time.
Oh, I love that you said that actually, because really that was, you know, the cash flow and all of that stuff was an issue. But my biggest challenge, which is really an opportunity, was exactly what you just said. So I had come from 5, 6, maybe even 7 years of being in a season of spring, summer, which is really a season of creative growth and energy and action. And after the book, just because I went all in, I was in a winter season, and a winter season for somebody listening is a season of introspection. It's a season of reflection. It's a season of kind of taking inventory and hibernating in a sense. Now, for me, mind you, I needed to get back into my business to serve people, cash flow reasons in the book. So that was my biggest challenge. But at the end of the day, the seasons are there for a reason. They're there to teach us something and they're there to give us powerful reflection that we wouldn't have anyways. And I believe in like a nonstop, hey, you got to work and you got to hustle 24/7. People are missing this introspection and it leads them to go down some roads that might not be so valuable. So mm-hmm. That's great that you brought that up. Like, don't judge yourself for being in one of those winter seasons. Instead, be willing to celebrate it and see what's inside of that.
Absolutely. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
Yeah, for me, it means to be connected with my work. It means to be challenged by my work because I find a lot of fulfillment within stretching myself. Maybe that's as a podcaster, as a writer, as a trainer. And to understand that what I'm doing has value for other people and is creating shifts for them. And I just did a challenge for 14 days and there's 250 people in there. And I was just floored by people's commitment to themselves. And that to me is the most, that to me is working for my happy place.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think you really, it's a simple thing. I mean, you just gave more detail, but earlier in the program, you said just loving what you do. And when I started this whole podcast, it was really about loving the work that you do to where it doesn't feel like work. And there's going to be days where for sure it does. But at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the broad picture of the whole thing, it has a lot of meaning. And I love it when people dig a little deeper and give very specifics, because believe it or not, that's always a hard question for people. They have a hard time with that one.
And I love that you said that, because that's why you've been able to do 200 episodes. You know, I always say if you're lacking consistency in something, that's a feedback mechanism to let you know that it's probably, maybe you haven't created the meaning around it, but it's probably something that isn't in 100% alignment or something is missing there. So well done.
Well, thanks. So what advice would you give to others that want to be entrepreneurs or that are in a place where they're maybe not so satisfied with and they're looking to do something different? What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, my biggest advice would be to, wherever you are on the journey, to get started before you feel ready in any shape or your form. And what I mean by that is that you're never going to feel fully ready. You're never going to feel fully capable. There's like the clarity of all of the steps laid out in front of you. It's not going to happen. If I always say, if you're waiting to have clarity on every step of your path, you're going to be waiting forever. Clarity is both, you can have some clarity, but it's also created every single day. But I would just encourage them to start with something and take the pressure off and start exploring within that place and become a humble student again. I think my business changed when I was willing to drop my ego and say, I am the humble student. I don't have all the answers. I'm going to need a lot of help. I'm going to fail a lot of times. I'm going to go on webinars and nobody showed up. I'm going to launch books with a typo on the cover. So what? It doesn't matter. I'm still in the arena. I'm still moving forward. And when you don't take action on the things that you want, you kind of start to build this lack of self-belief and the self-doubt really kicks in. And that to me is a place that none of us should be in.
Absolutely. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners would benefit from? And then, of course, tell us how they can find you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've started the process of ideation for another book, which if you told me I was going to do that 3 months ago, I'd say you were crazy. But it's something that I love doing. And, you know, I've launched some new programs. I'm really excited about this new thing that I have, which is a hybrid of a mastermind training and a coaching experience. But it's one of my most affordable programs that I created. And I just think it was a bridge because I get so many people that want to do things with me. And I wanted to offer something that wasn't just more information, but actually had a lot of coaching. So that's something I'm excited about. But best place to find me if this connected is resistaverageacademy.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. And has your book done well?
You know, it's hard to say what well is. I had some aggressive targets for it.
Yeah.
My definition of success with a book, you know, you can only do so much. And at the end of the day, mm-hmm. kind of the once it's out there, it's out there. But what I'm really excited about is that the feedback that I have gotten, people said that they were emotionally connected to the book, that they couldn't put it down. That
oh, that's great.
And it wasn't just like all amazing emotions. It was someone like, oh, like Tommy, like some of this made me uncomfortable, but within that discomfort, they made a new decision. So that to me is my definition of success for a book. And you know, I'm excited about the process for the next one and going from there.
Good. I think there is something to having a publisher and having somebody else want your work, and that was a real validation for you, that compared to doing self-publishing and those two experiences. Do you have any insights on doing that differently or doing it the same, or any insights on that at all? Because that seems to be also the number one question out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as a writer, it definitely felt good to be quote unquote picked. And to me, I love the craft of writing. So it was awesome to work with a big publishing house. Mm-hmm. I am a marketer first and foremost. And I know I say that and some people cringe at that, but we have to be marketers. You know, if you believe in your brand, product or service, you have to get it out there. If not, nobody's, you know, you're not going to impact anybody. So I actually prefer self-publishing because it means I have complete control and I can make all decisions. And the truth is, a lot of big publishing houses, they don't understand the in the trenches marketing. They're like record labels. And so to me, I like having control. And so if for the next one, it's likely that I will go back to a self-published format, but I don't know. But yeah, I like having control of my work. I like being able to do my own audiobooks. I like being able to make decisions based on what I know my market wants and desires. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I would do self.
I think the audiobook piece to that is that's critical. Like, if they don't want to do an audio version, you can't just go do an audio version of your book. So that's a huge piece.
Huge. Yeah. And it's about autonomy and control. But, you know, depending on what's going back to seasons, what season of life and business you're on, both could be incredible experiences.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, it has been a real pleasure, Tommy, having you on our show today. And I would just like to remind all of our listeners that one way that you can stay connected with us at Work From Your Happy Place and never miss a single episode is to subscribe. And we've got some exciting things coming up in Work From Your Happy Place that are going to be slightly different than what they've normally been. And as Tommy mentioned, we are getting ready to celebrate our 200th episode, and we're getting pretty excited about that. So we would appreciate it, as I'm sure he would too, is subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place and always think about leaving us a review, because we always appreciate that. So, Tommy, once again, thank you for being here today.
Love what you're doing, and humbled and honored you had me on. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.